Lamar Jackson has been in the league since 2018, and he ended up starting for the Baltimore Ravens after Joe Flacco went down to injury, and they never looked back since. So since 2018 is 2024 now. So let's count one by one. So 2018, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, and 2024. So this is his seventh season. Lamar Jackson has won MVP. So the best player in the league at the quarterback position, two different times. He's won the award two different times. And with that award, he received combined 99 out of 100 votes, because the first time he won unanimously, so everybody voted for him. The second time, one voter voted for Josh Allen. So he won 49 out of 50 votes. So Lamar has done that. He's broke countless records. He's had a bunch of games where he throws for like four or five touchdowns, especially when it's against the Miami Dolphins, because it's like extra personal with them. But Lamar, he led the league in touchdown passes before. He's done a lot and accomplished so much as a quarterback. That's why when I see lazy takes like these, why are we going back to that? Why is that still even a thing? I feel like it's weird, because especially coming from Ryan Clark too, even though I do remember way back, like not too far back ago, but there was, I think it was around Lamar Jackson contract negotiation time, because a lot of people said a lot of ugly stuff about Lamar Jackson. Oh, I won't forget a lot of it. It got real nasty. But anyway, Ryan Clark, he said a couple years ago, if he was starting a franchise, that if he had to choose between Kyler Murray, shout out to Kyler Murray, by the way, if he had to choose between Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson, he said if he was starting a franchise, he would take Kyler Murray. And he was like, oh, every NFL GM, they would too. And I was like, really? Really? But even when you look at that one, that's not so bad compared to what he said this week about Lamar Jackson and Jaden Daniels. Let's just listen to it and then we'll discuss.
Practice every day. I'm going to say this, and I think Lamar Jackson is one of the best quarterbacks I've ever seen. He's one of the greatest all-around football players that's ever played in this league. Right now, today, in five games, Jaden Daniels is a better passer than Lamar Jackson.
So five games into his NFL career, Lamar Jackson in year seven, Jaden Daniels, five games into his NFL career, Jaden Daniels is a better passer than Lamar Jackson. See, we knew and we know comparisons are going to come. They happen all the time. But it's this one right here. This is one of the only ones that I really got an issue with. If you're going to say somebody's a better quarterback than Lamar Jackson, okay, go ahead and say it. Even though after that game last week, ain't nobody better than Lamar Jackson right now. He's the best in the world right now. But anyway, if you're going to say somebody's a better quarterback than Lamar Jackson, okay. If you're going to say somebody's more clutch than Lamar Jackson, okay. If you're going to say somebody has better playoff performances than Lamar Jackson, okay. But why do people keep going to this whenever a quarterback is either going against or being compared to Lamar Jackson? Why do they always go straight? Oh, is this quarterback a better passer than Lamar? It happens every time. Like, you could watch a game between Joe Burrow and Josh Allen, just using them as an example. And if one beats the other, whether they both have great stats, if one has good stats and one has bad stats, if they go against each other and one of them wins, you never hear the question asked, oh, is this quarterback a better passer than that? You never hear that stuff, ever. But when it comes to Lamar Jackson, they always go to that. Why are we doing that after 7 years? We're going into year seven. Why are we still doing that, bringing that up? Like, it's just one of the laziest things in the world to me. Because that's the argument that they go to every day. They don't make it about winning. They don't even make it about completion percentage. They don't make it about deep field. Is this guy a better passer than Lamar? What? It's always that. And it's the weirdest thing, but they just constantly keep going back to it over and over and over. And obviously, Ryan Clark, he's not the only one. Because other people will bring this up too. What else does he have to do? What else does he need to prove? And what's crazy about this too is that people will say, oh, Lamar Jackson, he ain't that good of a passer. The recency bias is a real thing, as we know. Recency bias is real. So with recency bias being a real thing, didn't you just not see the game last week? Where Lamar was literally, because I know people have used the excuse before, oh, Lamar only passes around the line of scrimmage or behind the line of scrimmage. Da, da, da. That game last week, it gave you a reminder. It didn't show you, because if that game would have showed you, that means you would have been seeing it for the first time. So it didn't show you, but that game gave you a reminder against the Bengals. Lamar can throw that ball. It's old news that Lamar can throw the ball. But people, if you say, oh, Jaden Daniels is a better passer of the football than Lamar Jackson, it just seems like he's doing a thing where, and what's crazy about it, with Ryan Clark, he be really defending Lamar Jackson. And look, I ain't saying that Lamar Jackson needs to be defended for each and every single thing that he does, because he doesn't. If he does something wrong or makes a bad play, need to be called out on it, need to be spoken of. If he makes a good play, makes an amazing play, that needs to be spoken of too. It needs to go both ways. But we got to stop just going back to this. It just, to me, it's just, it's pointless. It's pointless, and it's just regurgitating that same thing over and over and over. And it's almost like, man, what are we going to say about Lamar Jackson? How can we sort of tear him down to build this other guy up? And it almost makes you think, too, like, man, Lamar is like, he must really be a benchmark, like the benchmark for a lot of players, a lot of quarterbacks, because he is used as an example. When they want to prop somebody up, one of the first guys that they go to, it ends up being Lamar Jackson. So I was disappointed in Ryan Clark with this one. And you know what I did too? I made sure I watched the whole, because I thought that maybe, all right, you know how people will just post a clip of what somebody says without context, but that was it. Like, they were having a conversation about the upcoming game. Obviously, you saw the picks at the bottom of the screen. They were having a conversation about the upcoming game between the Ravens and the Commanders. And they were going back and forth about, oh, which quarterback's going to do this, which quarterback's going to do that. The defense, they were having a whole discussion about the game. And then Ryan Clark, he just had to make sure he got that out. And what made it worse, in my opinion, about him saying that, is that he even said 5 games. He highlighted that. It's only been 5 games. But Jaden Daniels is a better passer than Lamar Jackson. One day I know that the lazy takes are going to end, but they never will. So Ravens injury reports are back to looking normal with that long list of players. But thank goodness that, hey, most of them will be good to go, but there are a few that are going to be out. That list is as follows. Malik Harrison, who did not practice all week, he is going to be out. And a lot of Ravens fans been getting on Malik Harrison. But in my opinion, the bigger issue has not necessarily been Malik Harrison's play, but just the coach putting him in bad situations where they are not his specialty. So with Malik Harrison, if he's setting the edge, he got his hand in the dirt and whatnot, he's playing run. Okay, that's Malik Harrison that we need to see. But out in pass coverage, out on an island, he does not need to be there. So in my opinion, that's more a coaching thing. So hopefully, in the future, when Malik Harrison does return, he won't be put in that position this weekend because he won't be playing. But hopefully when he does return, that can be an adjustment that's made. But back to this injury list. Somebody else who is out still is Arthur Millett, because he didn't practice all week. He got the hamstring injury. He's returning from injury reserve. So again, just a reminder, he has until the end of next week to be placed on the active roster. If he's not, then that's a wrap for his season. Now, I wonder if he's not all the way ready to come back, if the Baltimore Ravens, they probably would just put him on the active roster, but have him inactive on game day until he's ready all the way, just so they don't lose him for the entire season. Because I don't think they even want to play with that. So I think one way or another, Arthur Millett is going to be back. But it also, somebody else who will be out is Broderick Washington, who also did not practice all week this week. With Marlon Humphrey, who, again, he surprised me. I was like, whoa, Marlon Humphrey's actually practicing? Well, Marlon Humphrey, he was limited in practice. He's questionable right now, but he'll probably go. Marlon Humphrey probably go. But it is nice that even worst case scenario, if he doesn't go, the fact that he's available, that's, I just did not think it was going to happen. So, again, shout out to John Harbaugh, because Harbaugh said it. I ain't believe him, but Harbaugh said it when they asked about Marlon Humphrey's injury and other people who are missing practice, like Rashad Bateman, Ronnie Stanley. Harbaugh was like, oh, it's just after the game stuff. We should be good. And I was like, how about you? But he obviously wasn't lying. So now we hear my favorite part of these videos where we get to feature your questions. Now, before we do it, I got to speak about something, because shout out to my guy, Ricky Williams, because in yesterday's video, y'all make sure y'all check out his question that he asked. I saved the best for last, and really the most powerful for last, because he talked about mental health. He just talked about us needing to speak on stuff that we normally wouldn't speak of. And he didn't talk about necessarily speaking about any negativity, but I got to take it there real quick, because as y'all know, on here on YouTube, it can be lovely place, it can be a very fun place, very happy place, positive place, but not everybody is so positive. And that's okay, because that's life in general. But here specifically on this channel, in the comment section, it can be a great place. Sometimes it can get a little ugly from time to time. But I think it's important, and normally I would not address something like this, because this has happened like a million times, but I normally wouldn't address it, but I felt like I had to, and I just wanted to anyway, because yesterday, in the video where we talked about, Marlon Humphrey with, his just being surprised that he was back, because y'all know, after that game, I've been saying, like, I don't think Marlon Humphrey gonna be playing. But anyway, somebody had, the video was 19 minutes long. Somebody had commented, they were like, just in case you ain't feel like having to watch, wait through a whole 19 minute video. This is about Marlon Humphrey being back from injury, saved you a watch or something like that. And I saw that. I was like, man, I felt bad for that person, because they're making assumptions that aren't true. And then they're spreading misinformation, which also isn't true, because with all videos, whatever the headline is, whatever the thumbnail is and the title of the video is, that's literally the first thing we speak about. You don't gotta wait. Like, if it's a 20-minute video, we don't make you wait till 15 minutes in to get to hear whatever we're talking about as the topic. We from jump, literally the very, very beginning of the video. And if that person would not have assumed, and you know what happens when you assume, like, I know that person though, but what they did was they potentially take away from y'all, because that video, we spent the first 4 minutes, maybe 3.5 minutes, 4 minutes, talking about Marlon Humphrey being back. And that was it. That was it. The remaining 15 minutes of the video was questions from y'all. So, but that person decided they wanted to be negative for whatever reason. Again, I don't know why. I don't know what the issue was, but they wanted to be negative for whatever reason and took it upon themselves to try to spread that negativity. And and a lot of times what I do too, I try to go through the comment section and I try to reply to as many comments as I possibly can, because I do not want to feel like people are just typing their comment into thin air, typing their comment for no reason, because I hate that, because y'all make this channel what it is, man. It's y'all. And again, like I always say, my favorite part of these videos is where your questions are featured, because y'all are special, and that is my way of trying to give back to y'all and let you know that you are special. So when people do stuff like that, I'm just like, for what? What is the reasoning? But anyway, I just had to let y'all know. But hey, Ricky Williams, shout out to you, man. I appreciate you for that PSA yesterday, because had it not been for your PSA, I probably would have just kept that in, because I do, especially when it comes to stuff on this channel, because I don't like focusing on negativity like that on the channel, because the channel is not about that. This is not what the channel is focused on. It's not what it's centered about. That's not what I'm about either. Your PSA message from yesterday, it just made me want to talk about that, because I do see that enough times on here, not too much, but enough times, and most, like 99% of the time, I won't even address it. I just block and move on, keep it moving, keep it pushing, whatnot. But I appreciate you, Ricky Williams, so thank you for that message from yesterday, that PSA. Now, on to the questions. And you know what's funny too, when Ravens are losing, our emails stacked, piling up, going crazy. Ravens lose, everybody's sending questions. Why this? Why that? Da, 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 da. Ravens winning, I gotta search for emails. Nah, it ain't that bad, but we don't get nearly as many questions when Ravens winning. But anyway, let's get to the first one. It came from the Team Keep It Clean Patreon, my guy Martin. He said, do you think our pass defense suffers from playing a run heavy team in practice every week? Ooh, good question, but no. Because Ravens have had much better pass defenses in the past than they have in right now. And they've been a run-heavy team for a really, really long time. Really, the majority of their existence, they've been a run-heavy team. Run-heavy and play good defense. So, no, that's a good reasoning, though, a good thought. but I would say no. But anyway, let's continue. He said, Derrick Henry probably whooping them boys. Derrick Henry probably whooping them boys all week in practice. They tired by the time it gets to Sunday and are so used to a running offense instead of passing. If you notice, our run defense has given up nothing all season. They do not allow you to run on them, LOL. But see, but how would see, that's where it wouldn't make sense. Because if Derrick Henry's whooping them like that, then how would they get better at run defense? You see? Like, if they were, if Derrick Henry was not doing so well and he was struggling and whatnot, then we might be like, oh, man, that defense, they hold him down. And then there are all these other defenses holding him down. But they just, that, yeah, it just, to me, it would make sense. I see what you're saying, though. What I think you mean is that since they go up against a Derrick Henry, and Derrick Henry be doing his thing, the Ravens' offense, in practice, they just, like, run heavy, but pass is like, oh, we'll do it when we do it. I don't think it's like that, though. I think it's important to practice a lot of both. Regardless of what the game plan is, it's important to be able to get it done in more ways than one, which I think the Baltimore Ravens do, and the Baltimore Ravens have shown, like, we can get it done in multiple ways. It ain't just got to be Derrick Henry. It ain't just got to be that. We can do it a bunch of different ways, too. But, I think it's just no excuses. I think the biggest thing has been miscommunication. Can the defense stop the highest scoring team again? Next question came from my guy, Aaron. He said, hey, man, how's everything going? Everything is going really, really good, Aaron. He said, I understand that the Bills team didn't have a scary receivers, but nevertheless, to say we stopped them. We held the highest scoring offense in week 4. Can we do it again Sunday against Washington? Don't let scary Terry burn the secondary. We have to stop the run game as usual. Put Marlowe and Nate in the slot. Put Brandon back to deep. Put Kyle in the timely blitz. Put the pressure on Jaden and put the Superman cape on like Josh Allen in week 4. And the most important thing is to make louder noise on the Commanders. And the Ravens win 34-21. Oh, that's kind of close to what I was expecting. I said 31-17. Because, again, I've been saying it all week, and y'all know how the Ravens do. Ravens are just a bunch of trolls, straight up. They are a troll of a team. And just when you think, like, oh, man, just when you have your lowest expectations for the Baltimore Ravens in a specific area of their team, that's when they end up shining the brightest. So right now everybody's so down on the defense, which they should be because the defense has been down. But I think the defense, they'll get it together this week for sure. He also said, that's how I stop the Washington Commanders to win. The offense do their thing. What's your opinion on the defense? And I respect Jaden about what he's done thus far, but our defense has too many talents not to be higher than 31st passing defense. I think what we got. I think we ain't we 29th. Maybe we are 34. Who knows? But I don't know. We somewhere at the bottom. That's what I do know. He said, I hope the Ravens can listen to the email and say that they know what to do. He said, and with that, my friends, the team, keep it clean. Subscribe to the channel and give Engraven love by liking the video. I'm out. Your boy. Hey, appreciate you, Aaron. Thank you for that. Ravens, they got to get to Jaden Daniels, man. Jaden Daniels is a baller. He is a baller. But one thing that we got to mention about when it comes to the teams that the Commanders have gone against, I think that really plays a big part too. That's something that's very important to look at because their record is what their record is. What they 4-1, I believe. They lost their first game and then they ain't looked back since. Ravens lost their first two games and they struggled a little bit, but they ain't looked back since. So something's got to give. But their games, their wins have come because their first game was against the Bucks, but then they played the Giants. They played the Bengals, they played the Cardinals, and they played the Browns. All losing teams, all teams that just have been really, really struggling a lot this year. And again, not to take anything away from them at all, but context is super, super important. Now, the Ravens, they lost to the Raiders. So it's like, oof, are you that good? But then, and they lost to the Chiefs too, and Chiefs still undefeated. But then they beat the Bills like handily. They blew the Bills out. Wasn't even close. They took care of business against the Cowboys. They were blowing them out. Then they decided, oh, you know what? Let's be ourselves and let them back in the game. You know how that went. And then that Bengals game, oof, that just craziness. Y'all know how that went. So it's a little different. But again, these two teams, they got to match up. No matter who they played before, they got to play each other. So we'll see how it goes in a couple of days. Lie detector. Ooh, where is it? Anyway, this next question came from my guy, Mark JG. He said, what's up, Engraven? What's up, Mark? He said, I hope you in Florida are safe during Milton. As always, hope you guys are doing well. You and team, keep it clean. Just want to reach out and be sure all is well first. Appreciate you, Mark. We are good. Thank you, though. He said, now, with all these wide receiver rumors and suggestions swirling around the Ravens, what is that saying to Rashad Bateman? I know Adams' news just died out, but who's to say they aren't looking for another wide receiver or weapon? Ooh, man. I heard some stuff, but by doing that, someone's time is going to be eaten, and if you get an elite weapon, and I feel it'd be Bateman or it could be Nelly. I think Rashad would feel he'd been lied to, in a sense, when they put their eggs in his basket by the team's action and how they backed him in the offseason. If Baltimore got that guy, would be a major contradiction. That is true. You are 1,000,000% spot on, because again, a lot of us, I know myself, I was wondering, like, no, they're not going to just roll with Bateman and that's it, right? Like, we could know Bateman had potential before the season started, but I still wanted them to go out and get somebody, proven somebody like that, just in case the Rashad Bateman experiment wasn't working, that they would be able to stay ready so they ain't had to get ready. Now, Rashad Bateman, he's been doing his thing, so that's been a good thing. But you're right, if they are looking around at receivers, then anyway, continuing. He said, yeah, it makes it look like they're not necessarily putting their eggs all in the Rashad Bateman basket, or they want to get more out of somebody else's basket. He said, if you're Rashad or another wide receiver, how would you feel if your job brought in a guy who's produced more than you, who works in your same position? I'm thinking from Bateman's perspective with this. If I'm being honest, I don't care if we trade for a weapon or not. I'm always down for quality, quantity. And I agree with you always when you say get Lamar someone who's like that. The Ravens have invested in Lamar, but it's almost half-hearted. The Ravens go in, but haven't gone all in on offense. I will say, I think we have got to get Bate the ball early and often against the Commanders. I'm with you with building the Bate chemistry. If he balls out, you know what that would do for his confidence? Oh, it certainly would. And like I said, with Rashad Bateman, he's a receiver that's like Derrick Henry, man. You gotta keep feeding them. You gotta keep finding ways to get them involved, get the ball in their hands, and just let them go to work. Because if it's one of those things where they involve him sparingly, and I know every game plan is different, so it all just depends, but if it's one of those things where they don't involve him a lot early on, then you get moments like you get in the Raiders game. Not that there's an excuse for it, but you're far less likely to get those moments, in my opinion, if he's touching the ball a lot more. And again, it's tough because, like we always say, it's only one ball to go around. This is a run heavy offense, so the receivers, they really stay ready, so you got to get ready type of receivers. But we all know. Anyway, he also said, if we make a move, if I'm being honest right now, DeAndre Hopkins just makes way too much sense because of the money and the compensation. I think about you when I see D-Hop, because we were so close to having your top guys on the team together, Clowney and – oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah. That would have been crazy. I ain't even think about that like that. So y'all, like DeAndre Hopkins, he used to be my favorite receiver in the league. And he when he was with the Texans, he's my favorite receiver in the league. He was just that dude, man. DeAndre Hopkins was like that, man. And I remember when before he got traded to the Cardinals, the Ravens, I believe they tried. Oh man, I was hurt when he got traded to the Cardinals. But anyway, and then with Jadeveon Clowney, y'all already know what time it is with Jadeveon Clowney. Anyway. He said, I think about you when I see D-Hop, because we were so close to having your top guys on the team together, Clowney and D-Hop, your favorite dreadheads last year, with Lamar's negotiation and training camp, the Clowney signed. Maybe we can get a three dreaded monster with Henry, Hopkins, and Lamar. He said, I know Lamar got braised, though. Not to get your hopes or imagination going, but scrolling through Facebook and saw Seahawks fans not happy with DK, and DK looks frustrated. You know, I was for sure thinking about that last night with DK Metcalf. They were talking about how he was halfway going up for the ball. He should have high-pointed it better. He had a drop, and they're like, oh, man, this guy DK. Then I saw some Ravens fans say, oh, this the guy who y'all wanted? Y'all wanted a DK Metcalf? And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, dude, yeah. But, yeah, let's see, man. Mike McDonald, 3-0, started off undefeated. He's 3-3, lost the last three games. Hey, life is crazy, man. Life is crazy. And John Harbaugh started off 0-2, and now he don't won the last three games. Life is crazy. But anyway, continuing. He said, just some random thoughts before I get out of here. I'm fine with Andrews because people want to see him eat, but they don't realize his numbers are low because he's doing the dirty work out there with blocking. I feel Mark has a couple of years left being Mandrews because I think we are starting to see Ed Dixon and Dennis Pitter all over again with Likely and Cola. Bring back cornrow. hey, he might mess around and put them braids in again. The cornrows, he might mess around and do it again. He said, with Andrews being Todd Heap, I'm glad you pointed Zoe's defensive numbers to Mike's through the first five games, because his only problem is adjusting. He can be a good coordinator, but he's newer to this than Mike ever was. That's another good point. That's a great point. He said, Mike went to college to be a defensive coordinator, but Zach got thrown into the fire faster, so he'll need more time, and I guess that's what Dean Pease will help with. That's such a great point. I forget about that all the time. That's such a great point. Because, yeah, that's true. He went to Michigan. Mike McDonald went to Michigan, and he was doing his thing over there. And then he got brought back to the – such a great point. He said, I want to say more, but I hold those thoughts. I did order the Revenge Season hoodie. That material is nice, smooth, and warm. Thank you for the cold, bro. No, thank you. Appreciate you, man, for real, Mark. And he said, stay safe, stay blessed, and just know you all can do it. Until next, I'm out like Nick Wright is on Lamar Jackson. Oh, yeah, you know Nick Wright. That boy don't like Lamar at all. And he even publicly said it the other day. Not that he dislikes him, but he said, you guys know I'm definitely not the biggest Lamar guy. Yeah, we all know.